Two, and it's not New Year's Eve, that's tomorrow night, but this is our last program of the year 2016. Amazing, truly amazing. And what finer gentleman to have on this program tonight than a man who has seen so much, contributed so much to our space program and other things involving space that we really haven't talked about with Clark all that much over the years. We have focused on the Apollo program and the Cape and other things. But lately, we have begun talking with Clark McClellan, whose ancestors go all the way back to the Mayflower, about NASA and who was really running NASA, what NASA was really all about, and a man by the name of Dr. Kurt Debus. Now, Dr. Debus was a friend of Clark McClellan's. This is such a rare thing. We're going to be able to talk to Clark in this hour about Dr. Debus. Who is Dr. Debus, some of you are saying? D-E-B-U-S. Dr. Debus was the brilliant German scientist who was in charge of the Peenemünde V-2 program and other advanced rocket programs that the German government was involved with, trying desperately to come up with technology to allow them to win the war. Dr. Debus was also connected with people who were involved with the German flying disc or saucer program, however you want to call it. There were two of them. They were parallel operations, one run by the SS and one run by we'll call it a civilian enterprise, headed by a woman named Maria Orsic. This is a very fascinating story. Let me just wrap this up before we get to Clark and tell you that NASA was and will always be in history a German program run by Germans, inspired by Germans, molded and guided by Germans who came over here from Germany after the war ended in Operation Paperclip. Dr. von Braun, Dr. Debus, Hans Kammler, so many names that many of you don't know, were giants in the world. And there were things going on in this program that have remained hidden to this very day. Clark may or may not reveal some more little nuggets tonight. We'll see. Hello, my friend. How are you doing down there?
It's cold down here in Florida right now, and I honestly don't turn my heater on because I don't have enough money to pay for the bills.
I know other people who have the same problem. They wear nightcaps and socks and extra clothing,
right,
to try to stay warm, and it's just wrong. When we have the resources to give universal health care to all Americans, it's a birthright we should make sure our people have, not those who don't belong here, not non-citizens.
Right.
Citizens
exactly.
Should not have to worry about their health or being warm at night, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
All right, this is nuts. Maybe Donald Trump will take that on and make it a better country. And he wants to make it a better America, that's for sure. It's up to us to help him. Now, Clark, the idea of we might as well have had the German flag flying at the Cape above NASA. I mean, this was
almost
a German project.
Tell us more.
Yeah.
Huh?
Tell us more.
Well, when I arrived there, 1958, 2 years before NASA was formed, I was there before NASA, and my father was there 3 years before NASA. We were introduced to a lot of these German scientists when they were brought forth, and I became a good friend of Dr. Kurt Debus. And I've also met SS General and Dr. Hans Kammler when he was being interviewed. Or not interviewed, but maybe they were discussing what to do with programs.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Debus's office.
Amazing. Just amazing.
He was there.
Yeah. By the way, Dr. General Hans Kammler was supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they got rid of a lot of these people. They said they died, but they didn't. They were over here working here.
All I did was ask the other scientists there, and they'd smile at me and say, Clark, come on. You know, like, smile and walk away.
That's funny.
They knew he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
He was here because he brought us the bell.
Now, the bell is otherwise known as Die Glocke. You can find a special on it with Clark and I on the homepage on the right-hand side. It looked like an acorn. An advanced version of it may well have been what went down in Kecksburg.
It did.
A Soviet version, because some of the German scientists were captured by the Soviets and put to work over there. So that power source, Die Glocke, was also shown in drawings of some of the German flying saucers as the power source, the core of it.
Yeah.
It was fascinating when I saw that drawing. I couldn't believe it.
That's right. We were controlled totally by Germans in every technical department down there. I know I was there. Anybody would want to say no, they'd have to be told by me, you're wrong.
Right. Now, Dr. Debus was the director of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, for I think it was 14 years.
Oh, even longer than that, possibly. He was around before that, and then he took hold, you know?
Yeah. Well, he was running things from behind the scenes before he was officially appointed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very smart man. To me, a friend. I don't care who likes it or not. He was a friend of mine. Yet, at one time, his army with Nazis were trying to kill my father at the Battle of the Bulge in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And then my father became a friend of these people, too.
Right. Well,
so did
General George Patton.
That's right, George Patton. Patton was the one that created the reason for the bell, the Glocke, to be brought back here. And he's the one that talked with and chose with Dr. Debus who should bring it. It was Kammler who brought it here.
Oh, wow. I heard that it came over, you told me, on just a simple, nondescript freighter, a transport boat.
That's all. What submarine is going to attack that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, there was no submarine that was going to do that then anyway. They were telling us the war was over, which was bull crap.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Dr. Kurt Debus, I'm looking up his tenure at NASA. The first director of NASA was now think about this. If you want to talk in these tones, and I don't, or using these terms, he was a Nazi scientist who was the first director of NASA, 1962, and he remained director until, I believe, 1974, from 1972 to 1974. It was called 15 years. Dr. Kurt Debus, a German brilliant rocket scientist, and hundreds of others with him. They brought over 9,000 scientists and technicians from Germany over here in Operation Paperclip.
I met most everybody you could even mention. I met Conrad Dannenberg, Ernst Stuhlinger, Hermann Oberth, Dieter Grah, Walter Hossermann, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I met them all there.
Clark,
they became my friends.
When you became friends with these giants, obviously the American government, which was overseeing the program, although they let it completely run itself under Debus and the Germans,
they knew
how you felt about these people, and I'm sure that was part of the problem that came up later on in your career. You knew the truth.
They told me many things that still in some ways were not released for the United States citizens to understand or even want to know.
Right.
I say, want to know today because I talked to some of the kids coming out of high school that couldn't give a damn less.
No, they don't know. They don't care.
They're stupid.
And they're getting worse all the time.
They're getting worse.
Yeah, the next generation, Clark, is being brought up with the idea that they don't have to choose whether they're male or female until they're adults.
That's
called
it.
War on gender. And they're going to be worse than the millennials. Believe
it. That's right.
Worse than the snowflakes. All right, then let me go.
The country's dead.
Yeah, the country is, well, it's damn near dead if it isn't. We got a chance to turn some of it around. Let's be a little optimistic, and I hope that it does. It's up to us, really. If we stay engaged, if Trump isn't killed, we have a chance.
Trump isn't killed, yeah.
Yeah. Now, going back to Dr. Divas, you knew him for all the 14 years that he was director of NASA. You were there.
That's right.
Did you ever sit down and have conversations about him in which the name of the planet Aldebaran came up? I'm not asking you to disclose something that you're uncomfortable about, but it's very important. And if you want to talk about it at all, we should talk about it right now and get it on the record.
He knew the entire history of the Aryan people on this planet. They came from Aldebaran in the Hyades star system. Now, you can believe that or not, anybody is listening to this, but I was there, I learned this. I'm not telling you a lie, there's no reason to lie.
Right, none at all.
No. So he knew all about the Aryans. The Aryans are German people and East and German-type people. The Austrians, I'm from Austrian blood, Scot-Irish, Austrian blood, Hungarian, whatever else. So that's
so
what
the we're talking now about the Nordics. These were the Aryans were Nordics, correct, or damn near Nordics, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they were.
Close to it as you can get.
Yeah.
Now, did he talk to you about Aldebaran by name much? Do you remember?
Not was every conversation we had. But
of course not, no.
Off and on, I'd say out of 10, maybe he'd say it. He'd bring up the name somewhere around one or two of those conversations.
How would he bring it up? What was the conversation like?
Well,
in
I
which,
would bring it up.
Oh.
I introduced it to him to see what else he could tell me. And then he would. But I didn't do it when I was at his home down at Patrick Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. You see, he had a house there protected by air police.
Right.
The Air Force police protected him.
And fully bugged, too, no doubt.
Oh, without any damn doubt of that.
So, okay, you brought it up, and he pretty well confirmed to you that this is the original source of the Aryan peoples. From Aldebaran.
That's what he did, but you see, he led into that slowly after we were talking earlier about it.
Right.
But then he finally said, they finally, well, he did too. They all took trust in me.
Uh-huh.
Because
you earned their trust. You earned their respect. I understand that.
Did I ever?
Yeah.
Did I ever?
Of course. Yeah.
So I had trust of the German scientists there. And I found out this about the Aryan race, that they were not only working on the Deglock, but they were working on these, what would become eventually the saucers that we see flying in skies today.
Right. And for those of you who remember the great flying saucer flyover over our nation's capital in 1952,
right.
I don't know how many there were in that that huge cluster, but maybe a couple of dozen. Those were all apparently being flown by Germans.
They were German. They were flown out of the South Pole base up to the USA, over Washington, and wherever else they may have flown. And that's exactly where they came from. You see, the Germans built a secret under the South Pole base to create these type instruments, and they did so there. And these aircraft they created totally outflew the small I don't think F-86s were available at the time, but
yeah, they were. They were fighting in the Korean War in 1951-52, and they were using F-86s, so they were around.
Okay. So anyway, our aircraft couldn't keep up with them.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
And the pilots were totally lost. Yeah. Our pilots.
Right. Right.
Anyway, Hamler brought that across the ocean up to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
And it was located in a laboratory 3 or 4 stories under the base.
Uh-huh.
Where it is still.
Still there.
That's right. And the object that came down in Kecksburg was, in fact, one of them that was built by Germans in Russia. And it came down. I didn't see it come down, but I went up there not long after, an hour, two or three after it hit the ground from the Space Center.
Mm-hmm. It was still warm, wasn't it?
It was still warm to my touch, and then, mm-hmm. then I was ordered not to touch it anymore, and I said, wait a minute, I'm here to investigate something.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guard came up with his M1 or whatever the hell rifle it was, and whatever. I did see it, though. I touched it. It was still kind of warm. And
what was the writing on it? They call it hieroglyphics and all that.
Oh,
have you ever had an explanation from anybody of what was written on that thing?
No.
Okay.
No, it was strange looking. I wanted to see, because I'm into Egyptology.
Yeah.
Whether it appeared like it may have been Egyptian hieroglyphs or such. Some of them did appear somewhat like that.
Uh huh.
But I couldn't identify them because
right.
I wasn't a hieroglyph mm-hmm. type expert.
Right. Now, there's a photo, if you, ladies and gentlemen, go looking for Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, UFO mm-hmm. crash, you'll see mm-hmm. under images, you'll see a photo. There is a color photo of a lowboy military tractor and trailer, lowboy trailer, with
yes.
the Glocka sitting on it. Is that picture in your mind legit, or is that a fraud picture?
I think I believe what one you're talking about.
It made it look kind of gold in color. It's sitting on this lowboy.
Well, I saw it up close, so it was closely looked like the color of my own car today.
Hmm.
A very lightish gold color.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, it was in the sun. It was in the sun. It was in the sun in this picture. And
yeah.
I have it up on my site too. It's a very historic picture. It looks like it was taken at the site. All right. Now let me go back to Dr. Debus and the Germans and Aldebaran. Did any of the other Germans ever engage you in a conversation with Dr. Debus or without, in which Aldebaran, the planet from which apparently the Aryan race came, did anyone else talk about Aldebaran?
Not with he and I, because they were quite secretive about that, usually.
Uh-huh.
If I'd bring it up to any of the other ones, they would calm down the situation and not even talk about it.
Right.
Some of them would bring it up if they were astronomy taught, if they were taught in the astronomical sciences like I've been.
Uh-huh.
And they would talk about it to a degree. But you know, that star system is many, many thousands of light years from us.
Right. It's impossible to get there, right? Yeah.
Well, it's possible for us right now to get there as far as I know.
That's right. That's the point. Now, did Dr. Debus ever mention Maria Orsic to you, or the name Orsic, the woman who was in touch with extraterrestrial intelligence that was directing her to build these craft in the 30s in Germany?
He didn't call out a name for a lady, but he brought that up slightly, but not very long, because he'd get right off the subject when we get kind of into it.
So he did mention a female at some point.
A female, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And his wife smiled every time he'd say a female.
Oh, that's funny.
And she was sitting there, and I was visiting the house with his daughter there.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then he'd talk with me about that stuff, even in front of his wife and his daughter.
How funny.
Which was really surprising to me.
You can find a picture of Maria Orsic online, friends, if you'd like to look. It's O-R-S-I-C, Maria Orsic. And there'll be, I'm sure, some biographical material, as much as was known and could be affirmed at the time, still up there today. Did you ever talk about, and if you can't talk about it, don't, but let me ask you, did you ever discuss the idea of time travel with Dr. Debus or anybody else?
Yes, I did, and it had to do with the, I'm sorry, I'm 82, I'm starting to do forgetfulness, okay?
Nah, you're doing great.
It came up when we'd be discussing the, what is it?
The wormhole?
No, the previous discussion we had with the, oh my, what is it? He was the director of it in Poland and in Germany.
Dr. Kamler.
No, it wasn't Kamler. Well, Debus was the director.
Right.
Kamler was under him.
Right.
When they were working on the, what is it that we've talked about earlier?
Deglaka.
The what?
Deglaka.
The Deglak. I couldn't recall that. What's
okay.
Going on with me?
Nothing. It just happens. I have the same thing that happens. Too many chemicals.
Well,
all right, so you're talking about Deglak, and what did that have to do with time travel? Do you remember?
It was supposedly able to have time travel incidents concur with it.
Huh.
And then some of the German scientists and technicians were killed by what was being used to create it.
So they had a mishap. Uh-huh.
Oh, they had mishaps, yes, and they had some of them killed.
There are photos still to this day, a round circle of concrete pillars.
That's right.
Which are connected at the top with horizontal pieces, a perfect circle. And it's said that this power source was anchored in that circle and turned on, however it was
turned on. That's
and
exactly it.
There is a little piece of footage running around which purports to show that. I don't know that it's real, but we know the Germans did document everything. And somewhere in some crate, some box somewhere, are some amazing films of German flying saucers, of Deglaka, of all the people involved. Now, toward the end of the war, there was an effort made in Austria to build a new underground facility for advanced German technology, and Dr. Debus was down there inspecting the progress. They ran out of time, but they were building a very large underground facility there, closer to what was remaining of the power center of the Third Reich.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly happened. And then he was contacted by General Patton about Kamler, and between Patton, Debus, and stuff speaking about it, having Kamler take charge of the object, he did so.
So it was Patton who got it out of there for us with Kamler and Debus. Fascinating.
That's right. Then Patton was murdered lately.
Yes, he was.
After that.
Yes, yes. Patton.
His own wife admitted he was murdered.
Yeah, and then who was murdered after that? Our first Secretary of Defense, James Forrestal.
Exactly.
Who took John Kennedy to Germany within 2 weeks after hostilities ceased and took young John Kennedy, World War II hero, he took him under his wing, took him to Germany, and took him around to all the ultra-secret German facilities that had been found. And John Kennedy was one well-informed young man.
John Kennedy knew the secrets behind that. He was going to disclose what is destroying this country without the people's knowledge, and he was killed 6 to 7 days after he said he was going to do that.
You got it.
I met him 6 days before he was killed in Dallas at the Kennedy Space Center. He was visiting the launch complex I was on there, and we talked and spoke. He gave me one of his presidential emblems off either a jacket or a sweater he had in his pocket. He handed it to me secretly, and I squeezed it so that the FBI or whoever else was looking at us wouldn't want me to open my hand. So I have that. I still have that.
Oh, what a wonderful thing. Wow. Hold on, Clark. We have to pause just for a minute.
Okay.
The color pictures of John Kennedy and Dr. Debus in that room, they were taken at the time you had the meeting with him? You think? Have you seen those pictures? There are some color pictures of a briefing room that Kennedy is in with Debus and a number of others.
No, I don't know if it was
all
that
right.
time.
I'll send you that picture. Anyway.
I don't remember what it looked like.
Hold on a minute, and we'll be right back with Clark McClelland. President John Kennedy visited the grave of James Forrestal in May of 1963, just 4 months before his assassination. Clark McClelland, our guest this hour tonight again, visited with John Kennedy just 6 days before they took him out. And the story of Kennedy and Forrestal is one of the big ones. Catherine Austin Fitz has been one of the few people to really be aware of this and to promoted as a topic of great interest, and I'm going to commend her for that. This is a story that I don't know how much anybody really knows about, because the two men obviously were very close and kept everything mostly between themselves, from what I understand. Now, General George Patton, another great American patriot, knew before the war ended who the real enemies were and how we had been duped into fighting the wrong enemy. Patton knew that. He figured it out, and that's why he was killed. He brought the Glock over here with Kammler, and he was probably instrumental in bringing many of the top German scientists over here. They were told, obviously, this is the place to go. They don't want to go to the Soviet Union. And most, in fact, probably all who had the choice came here. All right, tell me more, if you can, about Dr. Debus. This man is amazing. 14, 15 years he ran NASA, and very few Americans had any idea that he was a German scientist. They just didn't know. They weren't told, so how would they know? And did you know anything about it's called a delta-shaped castle, the W-E-W-E-L-S Wellsburg Castle, utilized by the SS for their Aldebaran ceremonies. Did anything come your way about that?
No, not that much of it, if anything at all, except maybe one of the other scientists got into talking about spirituality and all that with me at one time or another.
Right.
And they brought things up like that with me, but I don't recall that much about that.
Right, right. Very good. Now, it is supposed that Maria Orsic went back to Aldebaran at the end of the war, that a number of people were taken back to that planet, which is what Earth could have been, and it's so far away.
Yeah, I didn't know anything more about that either.
Okay. What else did you learn that we can talk about? You did tell us about the Kecksburg crash, and that you understood what that object was. Did you know what it was as soon as you saw it?
Took me a while before I started to look at it, and then I finally thought, my God, Clark, do you know what you're looking at, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't have I had this other man with me.
Mm-hmm.
But we were kept separate to investigate for our own selves what we were there to investigate. And we didn't discuss that very much after that, because he wouldn't discuss it with me.
How interesting.
The other man with me from the Space Center.
Right. So they kept you apart, and you were to do your own investigations and
That's
then go
right.
back and report.
That's right.
Well, interesting. Did Dr. Debus ever tell you that he had traveled off planet, or did he hint about anything like that?
Not really directly enough, but in ways he'd infer about things that made me think that. But he wouldn't discuss it to the point where he would admit that.
Very interesting. So your radar picked that up without any trouble.
Oh, yeah. My mind's got a radar like that, man, I'll tell you.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's starting to fade now.
Well, it's
I'm very
still there.
Poor, Jeff. I'm very, very poor.
Understand. I do understand.
I have a lot of problems with my health, too, now. My teeth are falling out. I can't even eat food anymore.
Didn't you get to a dentist last week?
I went to a dentist. He took teeth out, but he's not done much else other than that because it's going to take thousands of dollars to give me false teeth and various other things like that. I can't expect that for a dentist. But he's doing things for me. He'll pull teeth free of charge for me.
But he won't put them back. I get it. Okay.
Not yet. Not yet, anyway. Mm-hmm. I told him I don't have the money to buy stuff like that.
Yeah. All right.
In total poverty.
We need to try and help Clark. If any of you out there have an idea of what this man has contributed to the country through his previous visits and what was taken away from him, which was virtually his entire life, simply because they call it whistleblowing now, he wanted to tell the truth. And he was one of the first to do so.
And another thing, if I could bring it up, please.
Yes, please.
In June this year, I had to have my left leg amputated.
Yes.
On the same day, my fiance died at age 61.
Was that the same day, Clark?
The same damn day.
Oh, I didn't know. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there are no coincidences.
No,
No.
And she, my wonderful friend,
yeah,
helped me with everything I was
your
writing
chapters.
In my chapters, but they won't allow them to be published on Earth at all. And
yeah,
guess who owns the publishing industries? I think you can guess who I'm talking about.
We understand.
Yeah.
The antithesis of the Aryan peoples.
Yeah.
The opposite. Now, another question for you. Do you ever recall meeting Bill Tompkins via Dr. Debus or anybody else? Bill was involved with Debus and von Braun and some remarkable things having to do with his engineering and design work.
How many thousands of people I met there that would travel in and leave Europe and go
everywhere
else?
I can't recall
all these people by name.
No problem.
I probably did, but I don't recall his name that directly yet, see?
Yeah. Did you ever see an American flag with the swastika in a black circle in the center of the flag, which is said to have flown above Redstone at one point?
No, I have never heard that. No, I never saw a flag like that, or I would have torn it down and burned a son of a bitch or spit on it.
Did you ever go to Redstone much?
Not. I'm really not able to talk about that very much.
Okay, I understand.
Redstone's in Huntsville area.
Yeah, okay. What was the lasting or parting message that Dr. Debus wanted to convey to you about the Aldebaran connection? Was there anything that you felt he wanted to tell you that he never got to or was not able to? Did he want to bring you further in, as it were?
Probably he did. I brought up one time, I think we're all star races. He looked at me and smiled. And
really?
I said, yes, he looked at me and smiled. And when I said, I started to talk about the Aryan race, he also smiled again. Because, you see, Hitler received advanced weaponry assistance with the first jet aircraft.
Right.
And advanced submarines and all types of advanced huge tanks that one almost killed my father.
Right.
At the Battle of the Bulge area.
Well, the Tiger tank and the King Tiger tank, yeah.
They were massive, huge. They blew the top off my dad's tank.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in it when it happened, but good thing he had taken his crew out to get down in a tree, in an area that was treed over. And a German massive tank came up and discovered his tank and blew a total turret off it.
Wow. Okay, one more question about Aldebaran. You told me once when we were talking, you said, Jeff, remember Aldebaran. Always remember Aldebaran. What's the connection here, Clark? What is it about Aldebaran, the planet, that It has you so intrigued.
It's a planet that's got two or more planets circling it, large planets.
Every sun, every star, you mean? Every star that has two or more planets circling it? Is that what you're saying?
Aldebaran is the star.
Okay.
And it has at least two planets circling it. One's large, very large.
Got it.
Now, I don't know much more about that.
Okay.
They blocked me from learning more.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe I'm alien. I believe it, I am. I think maybe you're influenced therein, too.
I don't rule anything out anymore.
Yeah.
I had strange things happen to me as a kid, a couple.
Yeah.
And I always felt I'd been watched my whole life, and anyway.
Yeah. Well, you were saved from dying.
That's for damn sure. This thing in the Antarctic, it's my understanding that there is a school of thought that the Germans were essentially given an already existing underground facility that was not being used by the reptilians who built a number of underground facilities in the Antarctic. The Germans didn't have to go down there and build the whole thing. They came down and occupied it, yes, and used it for all of their production, or much of their production, before the war and all of it after. What do you know else? What else do you know about Antarctic? But the Antarctic, by the way, you can't go down there now. It is completely off limits.
Of course.
Whatever the Germans had down there has probably been co-opted long ago, but we don't know that for sure. We don't know who's down there, but stuff is going on down there
It is
obviously
still going on down there. Oh, yes.
Was that ever a topic that came up in conversations with you and Dr. Debus, the Antarctic? Because that's after, of course, Operation High Jump, after the German expeditions down there in 1938-39. Uh-huh. Was that ever mentioned?
Not that much. If it was, it was just briefed over,
uh-huh,
and then that was the end of that. But then I found out from other people that they wouldn't talk very directly into it. But when I was talked with about other scientists that I met down there, Dr. Stollinger, and I'm trying to remember. I spoke with Hermann Oberth once,
uh-huh,
when he was there with his wife.
Yeah.
And I had to be careful there because they were watching me all the time then.
Yeah.
And Conrad Dannenberg I spoke with.
Right.
And I spoke with Walter Hosserman and Theodore Popple, Eberhard Ries. And the one I didn't want to talk to very often was Ernst Geissler. He was an absolute German officer, you know?
Got it.
Yeah.
Now, you told me one time you went into Dr. Debus' office and there were two gentlemen there, and they stood up and clicked their heels in honor of you.
Well, I guess that's why they did it. Yeah, that one was Kammler.
Uh-huh. Amazing.
I can't remember the other one's name right now. I'm losing my memory, Jeff. I'm sorry.
It's not anything to worry about. You're just doing the best, doing better than I think you could. Here's another one. Now, we talked to Bill Tompkins and about Aldebaran, the star with the planet there. There was a planet there, as I mentioned.
Did Tompkins ever say he met me?
I believe he said he did once.
Yeah, maybe once.
In other words, he was introduced to you, or you were introduced to him via Dr. Debus during the Apollo meetings held in Huntsville is what he said. I don't know how often you went to Huntsville.
I may have been there when I met him once, but I can't even recall
what he looked
like or anything else.
Right. Well, he's just don't know this, Clark. He's 93,
and he
was just on the program Wednesday and did three more hours of conversation.
Good for him.
So you're stuck here for a while longer, my friend. He's 93.
93. I'm never going to reach that, Jeff. I already know that.
Well, I hope you go as long as you want. Let's put it that way. And we know each other very well, so I'll leave that said.
I miss my fiancée terribly right now. If anybody hearing this, I hate to say this, but I need some help. I really need some help. I'm in poverty here. I don't believe I should be in poverty. I'm sorry about people who are. Yeah. But now I know what they feel like.
Well, how much of your life did you give to NASA? 32 years, was it? Something like that?
I was there from 58 to 92. 34 years.
Amazing. And you got kicked in the teeth for it.
They canceled my retirement when a woman judge in Atlanta said that my case would not be heard any further from there on, and they canceled my case out. And my attorney came back and said, Clark, you were denied your constitutional rights. But the second thing, of course, any attorney like him would say, do you have any more money? We can go ahead and try any further. I said, sir, you and the rest have wiped me out.
Wow.
And that was the end of that.
Wow. So, okay. Just to wrap up the Bill Tompkins thing, I don't know if you've been able to hear, you got to get your computer fixed. If anyone wants to give this man a little pat on the back, help him financially, just contact me and let me know and I'll make sure he gets it.
That's all I'd like is that. I don't need computers sent to me or anything else. One person did that 2 or 3 years ago. I have it right here.
Uh-huh.
And yet, my problem is paying the bill every month to keep the goddamn thing running.
Yeah, I understand. That's your cost to be online. Nothing's free. Here's the other part. Now I remember, Bill Tompkins said that he did meet you once at Redstone.
Okay.
So if that happened, it happened. All right.
I've been in Redstone once. I visited Dr. Von Braun's mm-hmm. observatory he had next to his building, his home.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, we have about 5 minutes left here, so let's go and talk about the American Deep Space Program that has been going on for a long time. Did you ever get a hint from any of these people that there was a parallel program with advanced, super advanced electro grab drive, ionic propulsion?
Yeah.
Were there other things going on that you heard about directly or indirectly? Because Bill Tompkins has been able to give me, and I've posted, a whole lot of documents from the early 1950s from Douglas Aircraft, which had the ultimate super black ops think tank going on then. And
yeah,
those documents to read, I would love to be able to see you. I have a chance to read them. They talked about things that were just phenomenal in those years. Phenomenal.
Yeah. I was with the Office of Naval Intelligence. We had a small base of O&I officers that worked at the Space Center.
Right.
That would meet there at a large hangar at Patrick Air Force Base, not far from Dr. Beavis's home.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to see there because I was under an admiral or two.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to see certain documentation and such that would come in there that we would keep on record.
Right.
I recall reading things like that there. But I can't say exactly name titles or technology
right.
or anything
so,
else.
But you had an idea from what you were exposed to that there was another space program underway.
Oh, absolutely there is.
Uh-huh, yeah.
We have bases on the moon. We have men and we have international astronauts on Mars right now, but nobody's allowed to know that.
Right. Thank you, Clark, for confirming that. That's what Bill Tompkins has been talking about. We are not only intergalactic, the Milky Way, but we are interstellar. And that's what Ben Rich said.
We have
the ability to take E.T. home, wherever he wants to go.
Exactly. Ben Rich was a smart man, and I met him, too, at the Space Center.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. The other thing we talk about is the Navy. And people say, what is the Navy doing in space? Well, space is the biggest ocean of all. That's what
right.
the Navy's doing out there.
See how stupid some people can be? They don't even think of it as that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to call you stupid if you don't think of it that way, but space is an ocean. It's the biggest ocean we know. It's the universe.
Right. Bill Tompkins also suggests that the moon, and that it doesn't rotate, it remains absolutely fixed in its distance and proximity to the Earth. He said the moon is really not our moon. He said, he feels
not.
It was towed here a long time ago and placed there, that it's actually a command and control center for this leg or this end of the Milky Way galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work with you?
Oh, yes, underneath the sublunar bases.
Right.
Yes, there are.
Right.
Who's going to tell you that and have somebody believe it? They won't even believe it if I tell them, because they look at me stupid, like most of the people I see coming out of high school seem to be anymore.
Right. Well, that's a tragedy, but it's true. Now, the astronauts, when they went up there, apparently were allowed to pick up their rocks and do their thing four or five times, and then they were told no more. When they came back here, the Saturn V lift vehicle, that enormous rocket that the Germans built for our space program, was taken apart. The assemblies, the dies, to all that was destroyed. Actually, I was told the blueprints were also destroyed, although I'm sure they kept a set of them. What were you told about the end of the Apollo program and the end of the Saturn V lift vehicle? What were you told? Why did they explain to you was that huge rocket destroyed? Did anyone ever do that?
The failure of the criminals we elect to political office is what caused it.
Okay. Were we told...
In the last 8 years, too, of
course. Oh, God. Eight? Let's go back 16.
That's right.
Were we told by E.T. to stay off the moon? Don't go back.
To say it directly, I won't say that. But it was apparently done, but I can't say by to whom, because we only had Apollo 17 land there. Apollo 18 was canceled, even though somebody tries to say 18 flew. It did not fly off the ground, Apollo 18.
So the program was ended. Were you surprised when the program was shut down?
Of course I was. I was shocked.
Yeah.
And I spoke about it. And a lot of people got PO'd at me because I did. I said, that's the way I've always been. I'll always be that way. And then my own retirement was canceled on me. I don't even have that.
Yeah. Well, like I say, if anyone out there would like to help Clark at the beginning of this new year with whatever, just send it to...
Send it to you, please, and then you can forward it to me.
I'll
Is that,
do that
all right?
Yeah, of course. Rents Webmaster... Send it to James, rentswebmaster@gmail.com. rentswebmaster@gmail.com. Or you can go to our PayPal account, which will let you know, and I'll make sure Clark gets it.
Anybody can help me. I would thank you so much.
Clark hates to ask. Believe me, this is very humbling, and it's humiliating for him.
It is. It really is.
I understand. All right. Well, if anyone wants to help, I'm here. Just get it to me, and I'll make sure Clark gets it straight away.
I appreciate your help for me, too, Jeff.
Of course. The last question. Did anybody in the German space program, if it wasn't really American, I'm going to call it the German space program, NASA, did any of them talk directly or even insinuate about the presence of extraterrestrials working among us?
Of course, about every one of them I talked to would say that, but they wouldn't talk out really. They wouldn't talk outwardly about it because they didn't want any more problems.
I understand.
About everyone said, not Debus, though, not yet. Okay.
Of course,
I guess he's dead now.
Yeah. And hold this audio for a second on the commercial, please. How did they say it? What did they say? Remember any of the specific or general conversations about ETs being here on the planet?
Well, they just, again, infer back to the Aryan contact, which is Aryans in Europe.
Right. And that
and
was where...
Saying,
okay.
They were there.
All right. Got it. All right. Wonderful program tonight, Clark. Thank you for sharing everything as you have, as you always do. We will talk again soon, and if anyone wants to help, we will make sure you get it.
I appreciate that very much. If anybody would do that, I don't want to beg. I don't think I have to beg.
No.
I just need some help, and I need it badly.
You're an American, a true American hero and a patriot, and you will always be that way.
Yeah, I'll die that way.
That's right. All right, my friend.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you got some, you've received some information you have never heard before.
Well, I'm sure they
did. Before I die, I hope I can get it out of me.
All right. Okay,
Clark. There's other things I can talk about, too, but I haven't done that yet.
All right, my friend. I'm here. You take care.
Okay, you take care. Bye. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Clark McClelland. Okay, there we go. Back with another hour in just a few minutes.